You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
The exhilaration of being dropped off by a helicopter must be an amazing thing. To be dropped off and to see then there's no trail to go down, you're going to blaze a trail. That must be an amazing, amazing thing. We've been talking about the difference in the old man and the new man, that there is a skier on one side and a hiker on the other, that we've been talking about how there's a line that when we don't walk with the things of God, when we don't follow Christ, that there's sin and it divides us. It keeps us from the old man who is based in Adam, operates on flesh and walks in sin, from the new man. See, Jesus hasn't made us new and improved. He's made us new, period. Then we're not just a little bit better than what we were before. We are brand new. And the only way that you trust in that is through the cross of Christ. That's the only way you get from the old man to the new man. It's through the cross. That's the only way. You move from hiking to skiing by allowing your faith to be in Jesus Christ and Christ to live his life through you. See, it's one thing if you had J.J. Watt give you a lesson on defense, and it's another thing if J.J. Watt lives his life through you. That's a different deal. And a brand new person in Christ is when Jesus Christ lives his life through us. It's a new life, and it's a new way. That's where we've been going with Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to wrap up Ephesians chapter 4. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, you can do that. Ephesians chapter 4 in Cypress and Siena and downtown in the Loop. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Grab your listening guide as well. I'm going to give you some good notes on that. And what we're going to do is we're going to just move through these last few things. What he's been doing is telling us, Paul's been telling us, Ephesians 4:1, he says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you've received. This is the way that you need to walk. And now he's given us different things to walk out. In verses 25 through 29, he gives us four different couplets, if you will. He's going to tell us a do and a don't and a why. That's a great way to explain the Christian life. There are things you do in the Christian life. There's things you don't do in the Christian's life. And there's some spiritual principles of why. It's not just, well, random. There's a why to it as well. So he gives us four different things. We've been through two of them. We're going to hit on the other two. But the first two are this. He says, do not lie. That's the don't. Do tell the truth. That's the do. I've got all these written for you in your listening guide here. Why? Because it breaks down society's trust and relationships. If you lie, it breaks down trust and relationships. Number two, we went in this last week, and if you didn't get last week's message, you need to download it or listen to it, because God really used it in a great way. He says, do be angry. We're called to be angry, but to be angry about the things that are against God's principles, not the things that are against our preferences. So do be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because it'll give the devil an opportunity. Number three, and what we'll talk about today, don't steal, but do work. Don't steal, but do work. Why? So that you'll be able to share with other folks. Number four, and lastly, don't use foul or rotten language, but do encourage, because it builds up others. So let's look in Ephesians chapter 28, or excuse me, there is no chapter 28. Chapter 4, verse 28, you're like, man, what kind of Bible you got up there, man? You got a long one. Preachers always have wordy Bibles. That's why it takes us so long to get through all these verses. Verse 28 of chapter 4, this is what it says. The thief must steal no longer. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. Very simply, the first don't, and it's an obvious one, is don't steal. Don't steal. Now, all of us will go, okay, yeah, we got that. We figured we'd get that. That's a commandment. We understand that. It says, don't steal, but do honest work. So let's talk about two things today. Work and words. Work and words. That's what we're going to talk about. Because you're going to spend a lot of time at work. You're going to spend a lot of time with words. And so we've got to understand what this new life of Jesus in us is going to give us new ways of skiing, new trails to blaze in our work and in our words. Many of us are really dissatisfied at work. Hopefully this will help you to be more satisfied at work. And the first thing he gets to, he says, do not steal. Do not steal. Now, we got it that somebody breaks into a house and takes a TV out, that's stealing. But you know, you can also steal at work. What is stealing? Stealing is taking something that's not yours. If you're being paid 40 hours a week and you're working 20 hours a week, you're stealing 20 hours. That's what you're doing. If you're surfing the internet all day, when you're getting paid to do something else, you're stealing is what you're doing. When you're not doing what you're really supposed to be doing that you said you would do at the office, you're stealing is what you're doing. When you're fudging on your expense account, when you're taking advantage of the system, you are stealing and you are a thief is what it is. Now, we may say, well, no, I'm not, but I bet your boss would say, oh, yes, you are. All depends on the angle you're looking at it, doesn't it? So he says, first of all, when we're talking about work, don't steal. Don't steal. Do you know that stealing goes back to original sin? Stealing goes back to original sin. Think back with me, if you will. In the garden, Eve, what did she do? She took the forbidden fruit. What does forbidden mean? It's not yours. She went to the tree of life that she shouldn't have gone to. She took the fruit from the tree of life. That tree belonged to God. She could eat from any other tree. She stole the apple. She was a thief from the very beginning. Now watch how this is all going to play out. Then she gives it to Adam. So now Eve is a thief, and now Adam is a thief. So they're stealing fruit, yes, but more so they're stealing from the glory of God. Sin is basically theft from God's glory, isn't it? Now watch how this plays out. Back in the garden, you have the first Adam. That's Adam. And he has his wife, Eve, steal. She gives it to him. They both steal from this tree that they were forbidden fruit they should not have eaten from. They stole from that. So the first Adam, the original sin was theft. Now watch this. Jesus on the cross, who was next to him? A thief on the cross. Wasn't an adulterer on the cross. It wasn't a brawler on the cross. Wasn't a liar on the cross. It was a thief on the cross. What did he say to the thief? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Adam and Eve's theft got them kicked out of paradise, and the thief on the cross by Jesus Christ was ushered back into paradise. Do you see it all come together? It's a beautiful, beautiful thought. I read that in Warren Wiersbe's book, Be Rich, talking about Ephesians, and it just blew me away. Because it takes this theft mindset and it broadens it and it realizes that we have all stolen. When we take sin, we have trespassed. What is that? Going onto a field that is not yours to take what is not yours back to your own home. That's sin, isn't it? And so the thief on the cross has been ushered back into paradise because the second Adam, the last Adam of Jesus, brought him into paradise because the first Adam had stolen. Do not steal. Do not steal. Rabbis had a saying that they would say, teach your son a trade or teach him to be a thief. Teach your son a trade or teach him to be a thief. So we have a very entitlement culture in our America, don't we? And what happens is we have oftentimes rewarded laziness. You can get away with being lazy and actually be rewarded for it. You can have the ability to work but not work, and you can steal and get other things from other people and begin to receive that. And it says flat out, don't steal. So what does it say do? What's the do? The do is this, honest work. The thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do, that's the do, honest work with his own hands. Why? So that he would have something to share with anyone in need. Do honest work. Honest and exhausting work is good for us. Honest and exhausting work is good for us. It's good for us mentally, isn't it, to work? It's good for us physically to lay in bed and go, oh, I'm worn out from this day. It's good for us spiritually to work as well. Now, this word for labor is a Greek word that says this. It's a Greek word that means to be exhausted or weariness, to labor to the point of weariness. So he's saying, I want you to have honest labor, honestly work to the point of weariness. Be a person that is a hard worker. Can I tell you, no matter what the price of oil is, no matter what the economy is, honest, hard work is always in vogue. It's always in fashion. It's evergreen. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy to find a job, but it does mean that people are always looking for honest, hardworking, to the point of weariness type people. Treat your company as if you were the owner. Work as hard as if it was for you and your family solely. Let it be hard work that you work with honesty and integrity, which is often missing in our workforce, an incredible labor to the point of weariness, and you will find that to be great for you. That will be great for you. See, here's the thing. Restoring work ethic restores the world's ethics. Hear that again. Restoring work ethic restores the world's ethics. When we are a country, as we should be, and as believers in Christ, because our country was founded by believers in Christ, when we are hardworking people, it restores the society in an amazing way. And the problem with many of our ethics in the world is that we've been rewarded for not working hard. But if we labor honestly and we labor to the point of weariness, then at that moment, the world is able to grow better and to be better. And people will take account of you and your hard work. If you want to have a good witness at your office and what you do, be honest and work hard. Nobody wants to hear about Jesus from somebody that's 2 hours late and does a shoddy job. That is no witness. That is no witness at all. They want to hear from somebody, not that's cutting corners, not that's spinning things, not that's trying to get away with something, not that's always looking out for themselves. You work honestly and you work to the point of weariness and you will shine with Jesus. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Builder generation, you did a great job with that. Millennials, Gen X, my generation, we're not so good at that. Hardworking, glorifying God, honest, exhausting work, it's good for us. Number two, work is best where your gifts and interests and skills and needs meet. Work is best. This is where you're going to feel the most fulfilled. This is where you're probably going to shine the brightest for Christ. Where your gifts, even spiritual giftedness, your interests, you're into that. Your skills, you've been trained in that, and your needs, meaning that you're able to meet your needs. Now, all of us have some job in our mind that's like our gifts, our skills, and our interests, but nobody will pay us to do it, okay? So that's not gonna work. You're gonna have to find one that's gonna meet your needs as well. That's where it's gonna come together to be a blessing in your life. We had something break in our house, and if you've been around my preaching for a while, you'll know that I am not good at fixing those things, so I like to support the economy by helping other businesses come to our house and be paid to do those things. So something broke in our house that I didn't know how to fix, didn't want to figure out how to fix. Some of you guys and gals like to figure out how to fix it, and you get on the internet and do all that. God bless you. That's awesome. May you continue on your path. I like to call people, bring them in, let them get it done right. So this guy came to fix something. Well, the guy came to fix something, he didn't do a good job fixing it, and after he fixed it, it was worse than when he fixed it before. Okay? So I called the company 3 times, and they did not return my call. I emailed them twice, and they did not return my call. Till finally, I got on the phone, and I said, look, I want you to know this is my 4th time to call. I'm not mad, but I want to be real clear. I know this is not a part of your customer service plan for me to have to email and have to call 4 times to fix something that we already paid you for. Yeah. And you fix it and it's worse now. Well, Mr. Maddie, we will have them out there for you very quickly. I didn't care if they mispronounced my name. And so they sent out their other guy. Well, we found out that the guy that was came out first, he got fired. Okay. Not because of that, I hope. I hope it wasn't my fault. But he was already fired. He was done. It was gone. And then the next guy came out, and he was like the best of the best of the best. And this is what he said to me. This is point blank what he said. He said, the reason they sent me out here is because I'm awesome at what I do. It's like, you're my man. I like that. I like that attitude even. I'm awesome at what I do. And you know what? He was awesome at what he did. It was yes, sir. It was yes, ma'am to Kelly. It was fix this, fix that. Any other things I can do? No, we're not going to charge you for that. No way would we charge you. We did it wrong. Apologize. We actually fired the other guy. I mean, I'm awesome at what I do is what he said. And you know what? I thought that was great. That was great. Because he was, and he shined. And I invited him to our church. I said, because if you're bad at what you do, don't go to our church. We don't want you to go to our church, right? Come. So who knows if he'll come. But awesome at what he does, these gifts, these skills, these talents, this attitude. I've got a friend that owns a medium-sized business. He says, it's really not that hard to be a success. Dress nice, use yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and return your calls. And you'll do great. You'll do great. This guy was awesome at what he did, and I hope that what you do, you're awesome at what you do. You're incredible at what you do because it'll shine with the Lord. Lastly, work is a blessing. Work is a blessing. It's not a hindrance. It's not something that's after the fall even. Work was before the fall. Genesis 2 is when creation happened. Genesis 3 is the fall of man, of sin. The Lord, in Genesis 2:15, took man, placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to watch over it. It's a blessing to work. Teach your kids to work. Teach your kids to work. Let them grow in the ways of work. Allow them to work. Here's some great examples. When they want something that's a little bit more, put a line down of, you know what, I'll pay X amount for tennis shoes, and if you want this kind of tennis shoes, you're gonna have to work for this extra. I'm gonna pay X amount for this, this, and this. If you want the rest, then you're gonna have to work for it. Well, how am I gonna work for it? Well, you know what, in Houston, it rains, and then it's sunny, and then it rains. They can wash the cars, right? It's a great way to make a little bit of money. You can mow the yard. You can have chores. You can have allowance. We have a lot of fun that I pay for the food. Kelly cooks the food, and the kids clean up after the food, okay? Works great, and I help too. But there's nothing wrong with doing some dishes. There's nothing wrong with doing some housework. Teach our kids to work. Even we've got our rush week that's coming up for our students. We've got a way that they can help be sponsored, and it basically says this at the top of the form: work equals money is what it says. Work equals money. So what you do is if you work and you show us that you work, then we help scholarship you so that you can go on this retreat, so that you can go on Rush Week. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Work equals money. So we as a church, we'll just give you, sure. I know you've been playing video games all day. I know you hadn't done anything to help anybody. I understand. Your parents are sick of you. They want to send you on a week with us to fix you. And so we'll just give you money. No. You're going to have to earn it. There's nothing wrong with sweat. Okay? Nothing wrong with sweat. Now, of course, asterisk, I'm not talking about child labor in factories and, you know. Teach your kids to work. Work is a blessing. It's a blessing to get up and to work hard. And if you don't have a job, you know what it means to you feel that lack if you're looking for a job. If you have a job that you don't like, guess what? Be glad you got one. And the harder you work and the more honest you work and the more you see it as a blessing, the more you might see is you're not there for you. You're there to minister to somebody else. Now, lastly, on this little section, talking about doing honest work, be productive, and prioritize and not reactive. Be productive and prioritize, not reactive. How do you find value in your work? You find value in your work when you prioritize, when you are productive, and when you're not just reactive. Now, let me bring in another group of folks here. Two different groups of folks. I'd like to bring in the retired folks, not where you're just amen in what I'm saying about work, but I want to bring you into the equation here. I want to bring in maybe the stay-at-home moms. Here's the group I want to bring in. I want to bring in those of you who work, but not for money. The stay-at-home mom or dad, which if you did that as a dad, God bless you and write a book how we can all figure that out, how to do that as dads too, because it typically is the moms. And so here's what happens on this. Moms, I want you to hear me loud and clear. You're working. You're working. I remember one day leaving our house. Our kids were smaller, and I left, and I said, hey, Kelly, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go run like a multi-million-dollar organization with thousands of church members, and I want you to know, I think what you're going to do today is harder. It's tough. So if you are a stay-at-home mom or, you know, for whatever reason, you don't have to work, even if you don't have kids in the house anymore, whatever it is, or you're retired, this is all I want to say. I want to encourage you to be productive and prioritized. If not, you will just be reactive. You'll bounce, boom, 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 boom. And here's what you'll find. You'll look back and in 5 years, all you did was run errands. All you did was run errands. That's a part of doing life without receiving pay. I get it. But your goal is not to just run errands. That's not your goal. Your goal, if you got kids in the home, is to build a home that is stronger than if you were somewhere else. The goal is for you to build a home that is a place of welcome to come into. The goal is to raise those kids in those ways. As a retired person, now you've got the time to give back to society. Now you've got the time to serve in the church, to tutor in a school, to make a difference. Retirement is not you just don't have anything to do anymore. Retirement is you release the day-to-day stress and responsibility, not the daily impact of your life. Retirement should have greater impact in your life. And I want you to hear me, and this is going to sound harsh. If all you do is run errands and play games, you're wasting your life. We need you to step up higher because now you're able to be prioritized and to be productive. And that's a lot of times why, when you're just reactive, life feels pointless. You feel like you're just bouncing from things to do, things to do, things to do. And now you're stressed. And you're like, why am I stressed? I should not be stressed. What are your priorities for the day? Be productive in getting those done and realize the deeper, higher purpose of what you're doing. You are there so that you can build into your kids. And some moms get so busy, you're not raising kids, you're shuttling kids. And shutting them from activity to activity is not why you desire to stay home. Productive, prioritized, and not reactive. See, what happens with that is then we're able, you're not working for just money. You're not working for just money, whether you're a dad at home or a mom at home or however it is. You're not working for just money, and your job may be harder. You're working for impact. That's important. That's awesome. So if I want you to hear one thing, I want you to hear what you do is vastly important, but it's not just about running errands. Don't just bounce from Facebook to the mall, to the grocery store, back to pick up the kids from school. Walk with impact. Pray for your kids. Pray for impact. And then you will see God do something in you. Why? He said, don't steal. Theft goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, but theft goes to the cross of Christ as well. Don't steal. Instead of not stealing, what do I want you to do? I want you to work with honest, hard labor to the point of weariness. That's what I want you to do. Why? Here's why. Here's what it says in verse 28. Look in verse 28. So that he, the worker, or she, has something to share with anyone in need. Has something to share with anyone in need. Okay, why? Work's purpose is provision. Work's purpose is provision. Why do you work? You work for provision. Okay, now who are you going to provide for? You're going to provide for three different groups. You're going to provide for yourself, you're going to provide for your family, and you're going to provide for your ministry. Okay? Yourself, your family, your ministry. You can put it in the listing guide right there. In that, what we do is we begin with ourselves. Okay, let's say we're going to work. Well, what do? You're working so you could feed. You're working so you could clothe. You're working to provide things for yourself. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a great, great thing. Amazing, amazing thing. Working for yourself. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. It goes on to number two. It goes to working for your family. Who are the people that you are going to help support? Who are the people around you? Now, there's some different folks. The most obvious is, okay, somebody goes off to the office, they work, they go off to the workplace, and they provide for their kids, their spouse, and they're able to provide for that home. That's a good one. Some of you are now at the stage of life where here's what your work is going to provide. And this is difficult. Your work is actually going to provide for you to care for your parents. Your work is going to care for your parents. Now, there's something interesting, particularly happening to you baby boomers. What does it mean to parent your parents? See that? What does it mean to parent your parents? Now, that is a place of honor. That's a place of greatness. That's a wonderful thing. And that may be a place that your work is helping to provide for those who provided for you for so long. That's a hard thing to figure out, to match up and see. Now, what we can do is we can do a good job as we go through life of preparing for our retirement, preparing for illness and ailment. But at the same time, we can know that family comes together in those to be a great thing. That's awesome. That is good. That is amazing. So you provide for yourself, you provide for your family, and you provide for your ministry. It says, and most specifically, it's really beginning with number three, they provide for those in need. When you walk in work, when you are spending time at work, when you're going for it at work, here's what happens. You now have resources to provide for those who are in need. You have resources to provide for those who are in need. That's a great, great thing. A couple ways that happens. One, when you get to the office, do you know this? That there's people in need all around you of encouragement, people all in need around you of the Lord, people all in need around you of help, people all in need around you of a listening ear, of somebody around the water cooler saying, you know what, how are you really doing? Let's go to lunch today. You know, I heard you're going through a divorce. Tell me about that. I mean, like, really tell me about that. And you begin to provide for those in need by where God has placed you, you can step out and be able to provide for those in need through ministry. You are a missionary to that office place. You're a missionary to that workplace. You're a person with the love of Christ coming in to say, I want to minister to you in a great way. Secondly, in this point, we receive resources, monetary resources, so that then we can give back to the ministry of what's going on through God's kingdom. So that's what's happened with Mission 1-8. We're going to end Mission 1-8 in just a few weeks. Now, I shouldn't say end it. We're going to culminate it. We're going to continue to minister to our city, our nation, our world. We're going to continue to minister to the widow, the poor, and the orphan, and the prisoner, and the refugee. We're going to continue to do all that. It's just not going to be quite the spike that we've been on for the last 2 years. So we're going to continue to have ministry impact, no question. But our pledges and our desires of saying, here's what I'm going to be about in 2 years, that's going to culminate. Our giving is going to continue. Our generosity is going to continue. That is a great testimony of we're able to give to people who are in need and see an impact. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. God, do you know God was a worker? God was described as a divine carpenter, as a divine shepherd, as a divine farmer, as a divine counselor, as a divine doctor. God was a worker. It's a blessing. It's good. It's godly to be a worker because you're able to provide and to give and to share. What does God do as a divine shepherd but share, and a carpenter but build, and a farmer but grow, and a counselor but counsel, and a doctor but heal? He uses those things to give and to allow those to take place. I'll give you a couple verses of scripture and then we'll wrap up our time. It says this, Psalm 104, verse 23, a man goes out to his work and to his labor until evening. He's a hard worker. Psalm 128, 2, and surely you will eat what your hands have worked for, and you will be happy, and it will go well for you. When you work honestly with your hands. 2 Chronicles 15:7. But as for you, be strong. Do not be discouraged, for your work has a reward. Genesis 2:15. For the Lord God took man and placed him in the Garden of Eden before sin to work it and to watch over it. Proverbs 28, verse 19. The one who has worked his land will have plenty of food, but he who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. Matthew 25, verse 16, the man who has received 5 talents went and put them to work and earned 5 more. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Genesis 2:2, and God, after completing his work and all that he had done, rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. Proverbs 12:14, a man will be satisfied with the good by the good words of his mouth, and by the work of his hands will reward him. Work is a blessing. Work is something that gives fulfillment. Do not steal. And you're never going to probably walk out of a house with a TV under your arm. Don't cut corners. Give them 40 if you're getting paid for 40. Work hard. And if it's not for money, work hard to build the character in your kids and the solid foundation of your home. And what you will find is that you will have a blessing in your life when you realize it's about more than you. Now, here's the deal. I got a whole nother point about words, and it's awesome, because I'm awesome at what I do. We'll get to that next week is when we'll get to that, because I can be long-winded in what I do too. But I want us to just sit with this nugget of work. The Super Bowl, the losing team was the Seattle Seahawks, and their quarterback was Russell Wilson. I want you to listen to his words, and then we're going to close a little bit differently today. This is what he said on Media Day. In terms of my legacy, think about work. In terms of my legacy off the field, I want to be a Christian man that helps lead and helps change lives and helps serve other people. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about helping other people. So that's where I keep my focus. In terms of my faith is everything. God comes first, family and friends come second, and football comes third. For me, I'm able to use my gift to glorify God. That's what it's about for me. I believe God put me on this earth to serve others. That's why there's nothing more fulfilling than walking into a children's hospital room and finding out how they're doing, listening to their stories. All of these kids are so brave, and to be there for them gives them a boost that is really important to me. But what they don't know is how much they affect me. I get an even bigger boost from them. That's a professional quarterback who on Media Day apologized to the kids of saying, Tuesdays I'm usually with you guys, and now I'm at Media Day because of the Super Bowl, but I'm going to be back with you. Do you see your work? Is it honest and hard and not just for you, but for the furtherance of what God wants to do? We're going to end differently on all of our campuses, and here's how we're going to end. Typically, we have a minister standing down front and center, and we have everybody come down to that person or numerous people if needed. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of come to you a little bit more, and we're going to have prayer partners that are going to be throughout the areas of all of our campuses. If you want to join the church, if you want to be baptized, come to the person that's right there in the front. Come to me or one of the campus pastors right there at the front. That'll be the place for any kind of church decision. But if you just want to pray with somebody about your work, your home, your family, your burden, your problem, your joy, there's going to be people all over. And here's been my prayer all week, that everyone would pray with someone. That every one of our prayer partners would have somebody come and pray for them. So you just come straight to them and you say, here's what I need prayer for. And they'll pray for you. And we'll just let a line form. That's great. Cypress, we're going to do that right there in the cafeteria. Sienna, we're going to do it right there on that first floor, the retail space. Downtown, the Four Seasons, we're going to do it in style in the Four Seasons there, praying. And here at the Loop, we're going to do it there as well. So what's going to happen is just a moment, I'm going to pray. Then by the time that we open up our eyes in prayer, the prayer partners, you will have positioned yourself around, and we're going to sing a couple songs. That's why I'm not going into my whole next point. We got time for this. We're going to sing a couple songs to give time to be able to really pray for one another. So you come, whatever it is, and let us love you and pray for you. That's what we want you to be about. Pray for your work. Shine as a diamond. And ski in the new man. In the new man.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.